Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Forum, the show where we learn more about Husker fans, one fan at a time, by asking the same four questions. I'm your host, Honky, and we are in a special spot here, for the very first time ever. We are up in Minnesota, up in Blaine, Minnesota here, in the basement of Vegas Jaren.
That's right.
Vegas Jaren family have been amazing hosts already. Yeah. We ate some very special runzas tonight, and welcoming Vegas Jaren to the Forum.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Love the show. Been a big fan for a while. Got to golf with some of the guys today. I don't know if we call it golf, what we were doing out on the course, but we definitely played a round of golf. So it's a blast. Yeah, it's so fun to have you guys here. We've been looking forward to this for a year, and I'm really looking forward to the next few days of celebrating Husker Nation and hopefully pulling out a win against the Gophers.
Mac and I, and you can be watching all these on YouTube when you get done with this show. Mac and I highlighted our entire trip down here today. Mac's sitting behind me. We're watching, actually, he's watching this live behind us on, how big is this TV?
133 inches.
133 inches. Not that we're, you know, not that size counts, but
that's right.
Dave is back here as well. He'll be joining us after this because we'll be doing a Minnesota game preview and kind of betcast. It's just going to seamlessly go through that. So stick with us, Redcasters. We're going to go through the first three questions of the fan form, and it's just going to go right into the preview after that. But let's get started here, Jer.
All right.
We've known each other for a long time on Twitter. This is a lot of fun. You've been on the show.
It's been a blast.
Let's get to the form. Question number one. Why are you a Husker fan?
Yeah, I'm one of the lucky few. Got married into it. So met my wife. We both came to college here in Minnesota, a small Bible college here in Northwestern, and we met. She's from Hickman, Nebraska, real close to where you live.
Yep.
And yeah, she took me back down there. It was in 95. We started dating. Went to my first game in 97, and I was just in awe. Like, I grew up a big UNLV Running Rebels basketball fan back in the day when they would sell out every stadium, undefeated, just the best college basketball team ever, but never had gotten into college football. And then, yeah, she took me to a game. It was Iowa State, and it was, 97, and it was 21-0 in the blink of an eye. Amon Green returned to kickoff or touchdown. We're in the Iowa State section because that's the only way we could get tickets. And I was just like in awe. And the other really cool thing about this, I'll never forget this. That was the game after the Matt Davison catch.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And before the walkout, instead of playing a video, they played that catch.
Oh,
and the stadium went absolutely nuts. I mean, it still gives me chills thinking about how crazy that stadium got because the screen went dark. And then you just heard the announcers, and then you saw Matt making that diving catch, and then they played Iowa State, and it was just an absolute bloodbath. And of course, they went on to win the national title that year, and I was hooked.
That was your first game.
That was my very first game ever.
First Memorial Stadium. That's a good game.
My this is even better memory though. My first ever Memorial Stadium memory is 95. We went back for Easter, and at the time you could just walk onto the field back then. Mm-hmm. We just walked in the stadium, and I was running routes, and I put this on Twitter last year. This story. And a guy comes up to me and he's like, "Hey, you want to catch a touchdown?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I played receiver for a small college. I was not very good here in Minnesota. So I ran a little in route, caught a touchdown. Brooke Behringer was the guy who threw the pass.
Oh, man.
So, and it was about 5 days before he died. So it was really crazy because that was in April. So I went back and looked and it was like, it was Easter weekend. And I think 2 weeks later is when he died in the plane crash. So that was my very first Memorial Stadium story. So, I didn't know it at the time how big a moment that was, but really cool.
And that would have been April of 96.
Yeah. Wow. So 96. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I started dating 95. 96 would have been the year that happened. Yeah.
We have Redcast Dave behind us. Mm-hmm. And it's something he said on the show from almost day one. Mm-hmm. Was how important, having these early memories and big memories where fans come together and it's about titles and big games and how powerful those are.
Yeah.
And you're not the first to come on the show and talk about, you know, being in there in 97 or 95, or I had my mom on a couple weeks ago and she's there from 70 and 71 watching Jerry Tagge, to see those kinds of meaningful games, it really does lead to something. And I hope with Coach Rhule starting here this year, I hope that, that the future of Husker football is we have a lot more of those meaningful moments where the whole fan base can get behind it.
Yeah. And my college roommate, Jason Schmidt, who's on Twitter too, diehard Nebraska fan. He was diehard since I've known him. So I told him I went to the game and I came back and I'm like, I'm a Husker fan for life, man. So me and him have been buddies on that forever. So we talk probably weekly about the Huskers and every game, every loss, kind of like you guys do with the Redcast. That's kind of our podcast. We text and stuff like that. So yeah, he's been a dear friend and he's a diehard Nebraska fan, been since he was born. So,
you know, that's a cool thing about Husker Nation too, is there's not any difference between anyone else out there doing what they do and what we do, other than we have a microphone in front of us.
Yeah.
We were doing the same thing everyone else is. We had a long text chain, and then producer Skip, who you golfed with today and will be tomorrow, he was the one that talking with Dave out there in China before, you know, before the Iowa game in 2016. They're the ones that sat there and said, well, we already are doing all the content. Yeah. We're doing a, you know, the text chain. Here it is. How do we put this together into a podcast? Yeah. And Skip's like, I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think of all the podcasts, as many as there are out there for Husker football, there could be thousands more.
Yeah.
You know, and they'd be all interesting ones to listen to.
Yep.
I also think it's kind of cool, Husker Nation, what a small world we are. I was talking with Steph when I got here tonight. And, you know, our friends Andy and Kryn Weekly. Crazy. From Hickman and Kryn, they're our godparents of our child.
Singing our wedding.
Singing your wedding. And it's just like, it is a small world, but Husker Nation, it goes far and wide. And we're going to find that out here in the next 2 days in Minnesota.
For sure.
There's going to be a lot of Husker fans up here. We're already starting to see them. Yeah, so this is great. Well, let's go to question number two, Jer. What is your favorite Husker fan memory?
Yeah. I've got two of them. The first one, they're both losses, unfortunately. But 2021, me and my daughter Bree were at the Michigan game. Mm. And that was just an unbelievable game. And I've got a video, and I tweeted out way too much, but I don't care. I was videoing right before, I think it's Dismuke. Is that how you say his name? Got the interception and returned it back to like the 13. And that's the loudest I've ever heard a stadium anywhere. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And Nick Baugh on his podcast one time talked about that it's the loudest he's ever heard in Memorial Stadium. Mm-hmm. And we were going nuts. And I've got my youngest daughter there, Bree, and we were just going crazy. And I honestly thought, we're winning this game, and we're probably not winning another game, or we're winning every game the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But of course we lose in heartbreak fashion, but having that video and that moment was just unbelievable. And then the other moment is in 2017. I think this is right. 2017. I had my other daughter, Emily there. We were playing Ohio State and we were getting boat raced and Emily was the only one in section 38 still holding her balloon. And she looks at me and says, Dad, I know we're going to score a touchdown. And she held it all the way through halftime. And just after halftime, we finally scored a touchdown. And I just remember the whole section going nuts as this one little balloon raised up in the background. And I'm like, way to go, Emily. You believe we got it. Of course, we lost like 62-7 or something like that.
Yeah, still. But if it wasn't for Emily, it would have been a shutout.
Exactly. So those two memories being with family. I mean, if you think like all-time highlights, I mean, you know, the kick against Buffalo or against Colorado and then Stu's interception, that game was just unbelievable. And then obviously going to the game and then 97 when they win the national title. Mm. I mean, those are awesome memories too, but those two memories with family, they just, you know, they're imprinted on my heart forever. And I've got that video. I'll never delete that video of the interception.
I love that because so many answers for all the right reasons. So many answers come back to that championship we won. And those are great. Those are, as Davis said, those are meaningful moments that are important. The greatest moments don't just have to be about a championship season or that 9-4 year beating Colorado there. Mm-hmm. You know, that season doesn't go down in the history of great seasons. Yep. We weren't 10-2, 11-1 undefeated, but it was important at that time. It beat a rival, a heated rival, and how it finished.
Yeah, I just remember
great games.
Yeah. And I just remember thinking I wanted to kill Pelini sending the kicker out. I'm like 56 yards. Are you nuts? Like just go for it on fourth down. What are we doing here? And of course, he just drilled it. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it was just one of those draw drop moments. So it was just amazing.
My coworker, Carl, was a writer for the Journal Star at the time and the sports writer. And he was doing wrestling, the wrestling beat. And he was in the Coliseum, you know, about 100 yards away. Mm-hmm. And that was about 30 minutes before the wrestling meet that was going to start. Yep. And he said he's inside the Coliseum and he could hear the roar. Wow. and the flags that were hanging from the top of the rafters started swaying.
Yeah.
100 yards That's away crazy. Because of how crazy that was. And you talked about how crazy the stadium was against Michigan. You talked about how crazy it was against Colorado. Mm-hmm. And these are seasons when we didn't have a winning record against Michigan. Mm-hmm. And the Colorado year, like I said, that was we were 7-4 at that moment. And yet how crazy that stadium was. Yeah. What do you think? You're on Twitter with me. Yeah. When you see these like polls, people just have to create content and I get it. But people say, you know, the 10 toughest stadiums or the, you know, the 10 this or 10 that. And every time I look at that with Nebraska or the 10 best jobs and Nebraska, you know, Nebraska's not as good a job as this place or that place. I'm like, you have unbelievable resources. Right. You have a fan base that will show up whether you are 1-11 or 11-1.
Yeah.
I used to worry about that when I was in college and we lost one home game in my 5 years. I used to wonder about, like, are we really the best fans in college football? We say we are, but we win all the time. Yeah. You know, I'm more proud now.
For sure.
That's what we have like this weekend.
It's funny you say that because last night, Husker Jim in Minnesota, we were texting each other back and forth. Last night on the Big Ten Network was Scott Frost's first win, and he was 0-6, it was against the Gophers, and he beat the Gophers. And what he said in the press conference, and I sent it to Jim, was, he's like, every fan stayed here to see my first win. And we were 0-6, you know, and we beat Minnesota. And nobody let stay because they all wanted to give him a standing ovation. And, you know, obviously it didn't turn out great for Scott Frost. But it just, the passion of, and I'm not going to get on my soapbox with Minnesota fans, but that's what I love about Nebraska is even when we are awful, the stadium is sold out. Even when we're at our lowest, the passion, these podcasts. And I mean, I've texted you when we were in the depths of the Frost era. I was telling you, guys, can't quit this podcast. We can't let apathy set in.
Matt quit, but that's okay.
We will talk about that.
The guy right behind him, but that's a separate story.
You know, it's just everybody keeps going. I talked with the, I think it's Husker podcast. So I've talked with them about that. It's like, it's really hard, I'm sure, for you guys to, after every loss, to come on here and break it down and do that. But there's so many people that still want to, it's medicine for us to get through the week and to get our glasses of Kool-Aid filled up for the next one. But yeah, no matter what's going on in Husker Nation, everybody shows up, everybody cheers, and they want that team. They want the best for that team, and win or lose, they're there for them. And I love that. It's just one of my favorite things. So
yeah. Well, that is part of being a Husker fan there.
For sure.
And you know,
the thick and thin.
And it's interesting. We are in the perfect place of this. Mm-hmm. Minnesota is the one example. And I think it's a legit example of a blue blood that fell from the ranks.
For sure.
Okay. And people like to rise and fall with blue bloods all the time. And I love the blue blood list that Brett Cianci of Pick Six Previews does every year. Hundreds of thousands of votes that come in on Twitter. And it doesn't change very much. And Nebraska's still part of it. People, oh my gosh, they haven't been to a bowl in six seasons and all that. That's not what a blue blood's about. A blue blood, it takes a lot and a long time.
Yeah.
Minnesota is one example of where it did drop off. And it dropped off because of 30 years of bad football. On top of a fan base that gave up, that stopped showing up.
Yep.
And there's a lot of reasons people can say why they stopped showing up. They built a different stadium. They obviously the Vikings joined up, all those things. But Nebraska football, to your point, I just keep that feeling inside that as long as this fan base doesn't quit on it, I think we're going to be here.
And I know a lot of, I just preface this because I've got a lot of Gopher fans that are probably watching this that are dear friends. There are some really good Gopher fans.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like in 2019 when they had such a good year, the stadium is filled with a bunch of people that didn't even know there was a football program for probably the last 20 years, but they jump on the bandwagon and stuff like that. And so they talk trash. And all that. So that's what drives me and Jim nuts being here in Minnesota, but they do have some very loyal fans, and you're going to get to meet a lot of great people as you guys go to the game this weekend. They'll do a good job down there, but it's that's one of those things. You look at that, and obviously they, last three-time champion, right? And Georgia's going for it this year, but Minnesota was the last team to do that. And like the fans have just kind of forgotten about them. I know it was, 50, 60 years ago, but still it's pretty crazy how fast that fell off. And I mean, 30 years of being, not a blue blood anymore.
Yeah. Well, we're going to the game. The Redcast is, we have, I think, 11 tickets, Skip said, and our 11 tickets are all in the Minnesota section, which is great for a gold out game. Because this is going to look like a San Francisco 49er gold out. Because there's going to be a lot of red sitting in there.
Exactly.
And I, we'll have 10, 11 right in the middle of a section. So that's great. Before we get to question three, I want to highlight this. And this hat here, anyone that follows Vegas Jer on Twitter, Vegas Jer has made but this is this is the right way to use Twitter, in my opinion. He has made a personal mission to get us with the broken chair trophy, mm-hmm. the charity that they do, which is Team Jack against a wonderful charity here in Minnesota as well.
Yep.
Both great charities, but money that you can dedicate to it. Mm-hmm. And so we, the Redcast has donated money as well. Vegas Jer. And right now, what's the latest? Have you seen?
I haven't seen, I didn't check today because I've been golfing with you guys, but I know both teams are over 10,000, which you think about that. That's just incredible. I mean, $10,000 going to two, one for kids cancer, the other one's for childhood cancer to defeat that. So yeah, I mean, it's awesome. And, you know, I really got on board last year with it when I started to think about it and just looking at my own girls. And I put that tweet out there a couple of days ago of why I'm so passionate about it. It's like, if you've got kids and they're healthy, man, we are so blessed. Right.
Yeah.
And you think about all the kids that aren't in that situation and, you know, they need help. And some of those families don't have any money to provide that health care. And you got Team Jack, you've got, you know, I can't think of the GoPro one. It's Masonic Children or whatever it is. But yeah, just, I don't care which side you're on. I don't care if you're a Husker fan, you give to the Gophers. Who cares? Just donate. I mean, most of us are so blessed. We live in a country where we have more means than we know what to do with. And we just have an ability to make a difference. And I want to win the football game, but I'll be honest, I really want to win the charity giving. So I think that's a bigger testament for Husker fans if we can pull that off. So yeah, go to the link. I think they just put it up there. You click on that. I mean, every dollar matters. 5, 10, 1, 10,000, 10,000, whatever you guys can give. I mean, it makes a big difference. So yeah, we've definitely tried to do our best with that. And Team Jack's a great, great charity. And we all remember, you know, little Jack running down the field in the spring game for a touchdown. How awesome that was.
That's one of those great memories right? Rob, thank you for posting that. Yeah. Keep that up for a few minutes, if you would. That's a great link. Yeah. Thank you, Rob. You know, it's about paying it forward, too. One of the reasons we're down here right now is because a year ago, you put up a little bit of an offer to get people to throw some money at it. And we did last year, and we won the offer.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's awesome. Just because you knew us, but no, the great. Offer was to golf at the TPC.
Yeah, I didn't draw it. Team Jack did.
Team Jack drew it for him, but it was you know, he offered a couple spots at it, which has now turned into a three spots. And I couldn't be happier. Producer Skip, Redcast Dave, Redcast Rob are golfing tomorrow at the TPC Club with Vegas Jer. Mac and I will be downtown and doing the normal Aura Day kind of football stuff that we do the day before. Okay, it looks like we are up to $12,482 of a $15,000 goal. So that's
$2,500 more. Well,
To pay it forward, $200 was what I think we gave last year, and you gave us this thing.
Yep.
So it was amazing what we got from you a year ago. Now we'd like to do something. We were selected from the money that we put in this year. The chair trophy just announced that they are doing it. They gave us a $50 gift card to a code to Home Team.
Yep.
So Home Team apparel. Any Redcasters out there between now and this time tomorrow night, by the end of Wednesday, if you give more than $50, so you can just give $50, but if you give anything more than $50 and you put Redcast in the name, we'll do a little drawing out of that, and we will give you that code to Home Team, and it's college football, college apparel, and you'll have $50 to it. So if you put $50 in and you win it, you'll basically break even. If you give $100, $200, $300, we'd appreciate it all the more, but let's get us over $15,000, and that's our way.
Yeah.
We don't always have the exact same means you do.
No, that's fine.
But we have some amazing means, and we have some amazing Redcasters out there. Please, let's give to that.
For sure.
Let's get to question number three. All right. Who are your all-time favorite Huskers?
Oh man, this is going to be a hard one. I'll kind of give you a few. I'll be honest with you. One of my favorites is Adrian Martinez, and I know that probably catch a lot of people off guard, but he really is. I think what he went through and how he handled himself through it all.
Yeah.
I mean, he was such an up class. I mean, he could have quit. He could have.
Yeah.
You know, throwing people under the bus, and he never did. He just kind of a stand-up guy. So I really liked him. I was at his first game, and I was convinced that dude was going to win a Heisman. I mean, watching him against Colorado that first game, I was like, this kid is so lights out and so unbelievable. So if I go back in time and I think about my all-time favorite, I probably would go with Sue or with Scott Frost, to be honest. Because, again, first game I ever went to, he was quarterback, and he ended up leading them to a championship. And love that. And then Amon Green, he was just incredible too. So there's so many. I mean, the defenses, or, you know, Christian Peter, all those guys were just awesome. But, and then, some of the special team guys I love too. Alex Henry.
Yeah.
Loved him. You know, I thought he was just a stud. But yeah, just so many of them. And yeah, I think those are kind of the ones that jump out to me. And I know Adrian Martinez is a polarizing figure, but man, I love that kid.
And you know, I think he'll be less of a polarizing figure as time goes on. I think people recognize, I think he did himself well going to K-State and having a successful season until the injury happened with him. But I think people recognize kind of the situation that he was in there. And that,
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because he put up that I named my dog Frosty,
yeah,
which is true. I thought he would be our coach for 30 years. So I named my 14, my dog, I thought would live 14 years after him. But yeah,
well, he has a
still
puppy.
Love Frosty.
He has a puppy
right here. Here's Frosty right here.
More doggers. More doggers. He has he has a puppy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He has a puppy named Ruli. So, I think those are some interesting guys. Yeah. And a player like Henry, too, where a guy can be transformative at a position. Sue was generational, right? I hadn't seen a player on the D-line
how he
like
didn't
Sue.
Win Heisman was a joke.
Yeah. So. I mean, Reggie White was the last guy I thought that could do what Sue did on the D-line. Yeah. But Henry was so good because he was clutch as a kicker. Yeah. But then he was the punter. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a great fake punt against, I think it was Oklahoma State.
And I think he got a black shirt the last game. Yes, didn't he get a black shirt? Which was awesome to think a kicker got a black shirt. That was so great.
And then all of us went to both of the games that were at Jerry World, two Big 12 title games.
Yep.
But the stupid last one, the last game against Oklahoma, where his first kick, he made one from like 50-some yards, and it went over the top of the of the goalpost, and we couldn't figure out a way. We kept getting sacked or doing stupid things, and we kept
getting him into range.
We found our way to get out of Alex Henry's range to lose a 3-point game. So
it was awesome.
You know, I think maybe that's something to learn from this season as we move forward, as we talk about this season, is how important.
We got a good one. I mean, that freshman kicker. I watched that state title game last year. I was in Nebraska. That was right before, or was that right after the Iowa game?
Oh,
right
when before? You came down and...
It was the week of that game. Mm-hmm. And we watched that. And I was watching this kid kick. And I'm like, how has this kid not got a scholarship from every country or every school in the country? This kid's unbelievable. So, yeah, he's a stud.
Well, we're going to do something a little different here. I'm putting up question four. How do you think the Huskers will do this year? And we're not going to do it this way here. Because we've got quite a show that we still want to do. Yep. And we're going to talk about, I think, Husker football this season, this week. But what we're doing is we're going to bring on the other guys, Redcast Dave. We're going to bring on Skip. We're going to bring on Redcast Rob. And we're going to do kind of a betcast that they've done in the past, but also a Minnesota game preview.
And I'm going to ask Jared to stay on.
Redcast.
We're doing this.
Yes, Jared's staying on.
It's going to be Redcast Jared's going to stay on.
So, of course,
I'm surprised Redcast Rob's here. I thought he'd still be looking for golf balls.
Yeah.
The way he was hitting them today.
So. Now before we start, though, I do want
to. Too soon?
Before we start, I do want to show one other thing. Would you highlight, Jared, that we actually have two Jareds on the
screen. This is my COVID fan poster that I paid for to be in the stadium. And then, that you could have it sent to you. And so I had it sent to me. And,
I had mine sent to
And I have that corn shirt. I'll be wearing this corn shirt to the tailgating on Thursday. So we'll be out there in full-fledged. Frosty won't be there, but Frosty.
My version of that is located behind Honky with a –
Yeah, you – I bet nobody can hear you from all the way back there.
Real quick, did any of you guys ever see when that was going on, that entire section of St. Bernard's they had in Memorial Stadium?
Oh, yes.
It was like 50 St. Bernard's. It was somebody paid for them all. Like, that's cool.
You mentioned the tailgate. I want to show this real quick as well.
Yeah.
That we have the 8:31 crossover game day preview. Now, Rob, if we want to take that off the donate now, please. Oh. The 8:31 crossover game day preview from noon to 3 p.m. live at Lions Pub, which is the Nebraska Husker
awesome
watch bar. We're doing a crossover with the No Block No Rock guys. So that's going to be on the game day. Come on down. If you're in the Minnesota area, Minneapolis area, come on down for that game. But fellas, Dave, Skip, Rob, come on down here. I'm going to push the button and we're going to get you guys over to doing the preview of Minnesota and kind of a modified betcast starting now.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
When the ethos of who we are matches the legacy of what came before us, then we can build the legacy that comes after us.
I eat difficult conversations for breakfast.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast. I'm your host, David Gasseris, and I'm with Redcast Rob.
Well, I would just like to extend my full gratitude here to
to Jer, Vegas Jer.
You bring his name, Rob?
No,
Are you nervous?
I almost did his first
time on the show.
Well, I called Skip Chip earlier, so I mean, yeah,
true.
It's right. I'm so nervous. Sometimes I put my hands under my arms like this, and then
drink some whiskey. Relax.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, that was his hot take. I'm also with producer Skip.
Boy, I forgot about the hot take thing, even though I
used the heidi ho, folks.
6 years good. Ago. Hey, great to be in Minnesota.
And Vegas Jer, who is very comfortable because he's already been on the show with Honky.
That's right. Yeah, glad to be here. There's no oars. There's no boats in this house. Just Kool-Aid and lots of fun.
And Spotted Cow.
And Spotted Cow. Lots of Spotted Cow.
Oh, and it's Irish whiskey.
Irish whiskey.
And so tonight's show might get kind
of
interesting.
Now, the launch of the BetCast, which was kind of a spinoff. I don't know what we're actually going to do with the BetCast this year. But
bring really, it back.
But, well, Vegas, you were one of the biggest, like, absolutely, fans of the BetCast. And you actually had a guest spot. You would text us or email us, and we'd actually read off your spot. And you probably beat us most weeks. I can't say that. Maybe that's why we're not for certain how we're going to do the BetCast going forward. We're not that good. But we do have producer Skip here who loves a little bit of the gambling.
Dabble.
And you dabble in
too
it.
Much.
Little too much. We'll just talk about units here. We're not talking about actual dollars. We have no idea how much people actually spend here. But we'll talk a little bit about season win totals at the futures market, which can be lucrative if you can do your research.
Yeah.
And, take a deep dive into that. We'll do a little bit of week one stuff here in Nebraska-Minnesota preview.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we get started, though, I do have a couple of things that I want to get off my chest here. And one is I've thanked Jer here multiple times, but you know, we've got some cool stuff going on. We have all this RedCast gear. We have all kinds of Nebraska gear in the house. Most Alumni Hall. I've got I'll be wearing my shirts all week. There's two locations in Lincoln. We've said a million times where they're at, and don't expect me right now after a few drinks to remember where they are, but I know that they are in South Point Pavilions. That's and correct. Also in downtown Lincoln. I also want to give a shout out to the Big Red of the Rockies. We'll be attending that event almost just a week from now. Tommy Frazier is going to be there. Adam Carricker is going to be there. There's going to be some other former players. It's going to be a great event. I think it's sold out, but it's the night before the Boulder game. We're all going to go attend this event.
Rob, where's that at again?
It is in Estes Park.
Estes Park.
Estes Park. Ooh,
is that in the mountains?
There. Technically, most of Colorado is in the mountains. So,
fun fact, it's where many scenes of Dumb and Dumber were shot.
Many scenes Stanley of Dumb and Dumber. Hotel. Yeah, the Stanley Hotel. Correct. And so that'll be fun. They're serving prime rib and salmon, and you know, we're going to have a good time, and there's going to be a bar there. So I know that we'll probably be having a good time, and then we'll be attending the Boulder game the next week. And who else next day? God. Well, I would say next week we'll be attending, but again, Irish whiskey.
That's all right.
What else am I forgetting?
Is that enough advertising?
I think so.
Have you sold enough things?
I don't know.
I don't know, Dave.
It's already sold out. So we did our job, and Gary there at Gary Michaels Clothiers in Lincoln, who now has some great NIL deals with the players. Thank you so much for sending us some tickets. I believe Jeff Sims is one of the deals that
nice,
we have.
Nice.
And so anytime he's you see Jeff Sims,
Gary Michaels clothes?
He is. Gary Michaels. Gary Michaels has been clothing the coaches that for years.
True.
Yeah. And so anytime you see him at press conferences wearing suits, he's the one providing them. But now Jeff Sims actually came to him and was like, man, I just want to look good. And
nice.
So they have a deal going on with cool. that as well. So very cool stuff. And I'll shut up now for a minute. Aren't I going to be the one doing the hosting tonight? Isn't that kind of what we're going
to
do?
Let's start. I'll hand it off to you. I'll give you the rundown that we're doing. Season win totals.
Okay.
And then we'll go to just week one best bets, and then focus on Minnesota
and Nebraska. Okay. And the way we're going to do this too is you guys are going to pick a couple teams, and maybe you can pick some teams too with over under kind of stuff. I'm not into that so much this year. I just want to see Nebraska win, and so that's kind of where I'm sitting on
You're
this.
Drinking so much Kool-Aid, you can't focus on anything
else. Tonight's Kool-Aid tastes like Irish whiskey, but yes. So I will host that. And that being said, why don't we start with some season over under win totals. And Skip, I think that you've been kind of looking at this. Are there some teams in the Big Ten that you are looking at with over unders?
Well, absolutely, Rob. Have I got some
tips for you.
Do you have an 800 numbers?
Oh boy. You can call this 1-800 gambler. If you've got a gambling problem, take hold of 1-800 gambler.
This is why we love having.
I do love betting season win totals over and under. There's a lot of volatility in the market, though. Mm-hmm. And if you're betting them this late in the game, I want to warn you, there's been a lot of movements. Mm-hmm. For example, things I was looking to bet 2 weeks ago, let's say an over-under wins of 7.5 are already to 7. Minnesota being one of those examples, I was looking to bet the under. Their season win total was 7.5, but now it is 7 across the board. So I don't really want to dabble in that as much anymore. So you got to learn to stay away from a hip tip you get or any inside numbers you get maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I've been slow to the game to act on some of these. So just remember that when you bet, there's a lot of movement and stuff. For example, I did, because a homer pick, I'll always do it. I bet Nebraska over 6 wins. And that was back when it was minus 130. It's minus 150 now. So it's a much less number. And for those novices at home that don't understand, that means a lot of people have been betting that over. So the juice is getting a little larger. You got to bet 150 to 100 now instead of 130 to 100. So
yeah, exactly. So the profit has gone down.
But yes.
You might be able to still find the bet there,
the amount,
right?
You have
so
to pay.
If you still like a number, you're going to have to pay more to win.
Sure.
But if you feel it's a good bet.
So some things I did bet, you know, obviously my alma mater, Colorado State, is a great example. I bet that.
One of the hottest bets of the season.
Yeah, so now some people were jumping on that. It was over 4.5 wins. It is now 5 minimum you can find anywhere. Yep. But I got a 4.5. So there's some things I would share, but then I won't anymore. But one of them that's still out there you can get that I would say is my best is Michigan, over 10.5. So essentially, you need them to go 11-1, which I don't need to get that deep into the woods, but they're an awesome
We're
team.
We're everyone know. Just dive into the woods.
Lake of the Woods.
go look for
but
my balls.
Really, their schedule is yes. Cakewalk. Is a cakewalk, especially the non-conference, as everybody knows. I'm sure they might drop all three now that Jim Harbaugh won't be coaching the non-conference, right? Is that how
directional Michigan's going to knock them off?
So I think there's two tough games on their schedule. One is at home, and that's Ohio State. One's on the road, and that's Penn State. Mm-hmm. They go 1-1 in that, and they win everything else, which they should pretty much easily win everything out. Everything else, they'll go 11-1, and you're going to hit that. You can still get that at minus 130 on most sites. They're just one of the deepest teams. They can sustain injuries on the offensive and defensive line like no other teams can, right? Like you get a great defensive line team like Illinois, they lose one of their stud NFL caliber defensive linemen, then you're a little worried. But Michigan can plug in 5 stars right after that. There's even talk in their camp that they're trying to set like the NFL record for most draft picks from a school this year. They're already saying. So that's an easy win total pick I like from the Big Ten right now.
And if anyone's trying to question what's going on here with Skip too, and you wonder like where is knowledge, he is running these like betting lines off the top of his head. He's not just like looking at anything, reading them off anything right now. He's literally reading those off the top of his head. Dave,
you got
some you like? You got some over unders that you're really looking at?
Yeah, well, I like what Skip's at. Colorado State has been one of the hotter picks, you know. Louisville has been one. Now, I mean, again, that's probably moving the market. I don't know where it's at right now, but the over under was probably around 8 or so. Very manageable schedule there. And Jeff Brohm goes down. He gets Jack Plummer, who actually transferred away from Purdue to Cal, I think. Now he's there. He knows that offense. Manageable schedule, Louisville. Oklahoma State is another one that a lot of folks have thought that can go over 6.5. To Skip's point, there's a couple of higher ranked teams, like Florida State's one, where you still probably have over under at 9.5, plus or minus there. And if you think Florida State can, similar to what Brett Cianci Pick 6 previews things can win the ACC. I mean, they're gonna win 10 games.
Doesn't
right?
he have so him in the national championship?
They have him in the playoffs.
Right? I don't know. Yeah, get national championship runs. So, Jer, now, again, we are in Minnesota right now, so none of us are making any bets while in Minnesota. Again, it's not legal here, and so we don't want
to. Has it been a topic of conversation?
It's been a topic, but it has not been approved. So,
okay.
Yeah, so we don't want to condone anything that is not legal here in Minnesota. Again, the RedCast, we make Dave, Skip, and myself, we make all of our bets in Colorado. Mm-hmm. We were in the airport today actually placing some bets in the airport. 5 minutes before we boarded the plane. Skip was making bets on the plane. I was sitting next to him, and he was literally making bets on the plane. And I'm texting Jer, like, anything last minute you want. But, Jer, you go to Vegas quite frequently with your wife, right?
Just
by yourself.
She has gone with me to see my family. But, I go about three times a year. I go out for March Madness. That's the big one. Then I go out one time in the summer to kind of get my college football preseason bets in, and then we do a football weekend in the fall. I typically try to do that on a bye week for Nebraska, so I don't have to be torn if I have to bet against or for them. So
we might have to try and make that like a weekend like a Raider game or something, and amazing. We can go to a game together. So I mean, you obviously, you're in the know. You know what's going on. You and I have been texting back and forth here for the last 6 months about this stuff. Talk about some games. I mean, maybe some teams that these guys haven't mentioned that you're looking at with that, where you think it's you know, sure.
Well, I love his Louisville one. I love the over in the Louisville. I think they have a very easy schedule. So that was one I really agree with. I like USC under. I don't think their defense is very good. If you saw them the other night, San Jose State basically moved at will on that defense. I think that they're going to have their hands full with Utah, Oregon, and Washington. So I would like the under on USC. I kind of lean the opposite, Skip. If Gophers are at 7, I think I'd bet the under on that now. Their schedule is brutal. And if by chance Nebraska wins this game on Thursday, I mean, they are in real trouble to try to get to 7. So they've got North Carolina. I think they have Michigan and Ohio State on their schedule this year. So they have got a brutal schedule.
For the record, I still bet the under -7.
Okay.
I'm just mad. I was too slow to it. And
gotcha.
7.5 was dropped.
Okay.
Gotcha. So I didn't bet as much as I would have but I'm still going.
And in Vegas, it's 6.5, actually. So in Vegas, is less than that. So to get 7, I would have pounded that.
So this was still 7 yesterday on the sportsbook, like DraftKings, FanDuel. Gotcha. We want your sponsorship if you're listening in Colorado.
That's another really fascinating thing is, like, if you make your bets in Council Bluffs ever, the odds there on Nebraska are so different than what you get in Vegas because of all the Nebraska money that shows in there. Really interesting.
That's really interesting.
So whenever whenever I make a bet, I usually will either call a buddy in Vegas and say, hey, are you happening to bet? Because I would never do it over the phone. You know, I would never do that. I would call and ask him if he is, and then just say, hey, you should, because the lines are a lot better there. But yeah, there's things like that. I think another one I really like is the Michigan one he talked about. That's I just heard myself talking in the background. That's a really, really good bet. I think that I can't remember what Georgia was similar to that too.
Yeah.
With their line that basically if you think they're going to make the college football playoffs, you might as well bet them because they're going over.
Yeah.
So, I think those are a couple of the ones that I like. But, yeah, some of those smaller conferences are some of the better ones I like to bet. The last 2 years, my favorite bet in the world has been the under for Michigan State. I haven't really looked at it this year, but, last year coming up their year, they were like 8 wins. I'm like, there is no way that team is winning 8 wins. And me and some Michigan State fans were going back and forth, and I think they won 4 games last year or whatever. It was so far under. It was just the easiest bet I've made in a long time. So it was one of those rocking chair bets. So
one of the things that you were talking about too with the USC game, I actually bet the under at 66 the other night because I expected their defense to be better.
Yep.
I figured, you know, they might put up like 45, 50 points, and there's no way San Jose State's going to put up more than 2 touchdowns, right? And they ended up putting up 28, screwed me on that whole thing, kind of screwed up a few other things that I did with round robins and whatnot.
I would say that's a really good bet this year is the over in every USC
and so,
game.
But I was going to say, if the over-under is anything below 70, you go bet the over.
Yeah, I would say you're
bet. Yeah, because they're going to put points up. They're just going to allow the other team to put up a lot of points.
Rob, this is a good chance to talk about the clock changes.
Absolutely.
And how that the clock's going to stop until it lasts the last 2 minutes. So it's more like NFL rules, right, Skip? And so I imagine unders might be trending, at least initially. Is that fair to say?
I mean, Vegas is really smart, as you know. They've already factored that in. Yeah. I got to put one over on them. Mm-hmm. But this is the time, if You're jumping now. First 2 weeks till they can adjust the lines. Many of the coaches I heard were saying they think they're going to lose anywhere in the wheelhouse of 6 to 7 plays a game.
That's right.
Yeah. So if you're getting that from both sides of the ball,
it's 14 plays.
I mean, you know, like that's a significant drive. That's a possession. That's a field goal. That's a
to your point. The bookmakers in Vegas, they've already done that.
They've tried to estimate.
Yeah.
But you know, you never know. Sure. They have to adjust things on the fly. So those lines are going to be sharper after week 4, 5, and 6.
Yep.
So if you really think there's vulnerability in that market, like now's the time to do it and bet those under. So I would say if you're ever questioning an under, first 2 weeks is going to be your safest point to take it because that line has probably not been adjusted.
So an interesting question here then, I guess, because since this is kind of what I'm doing tonight, how much do you look at teams that run the ball more than, say, passing, right? Because the clock is going to keep running more with a running team than, like, say, a passing team where if a drop pass is going to stop the clock more often, right? So how are you look at that if you're trying to place bets with the over-under or anything like that?
If you're talking like a classic running school like Air Force, Navy, like those unders were already so low.
Or even Iowa, I mean, they run the ball a lot.
But if Nebraska would just run the damn ball like Honky wants, you're gonna see some lower totals just because you're just eating up the clock much more.
But this could potentially impact passing teams differently, though, to Rob's point, right? I mean, you're running the ball, that's going to neutralize that impact, right?
But so if somebody's running two teams. The Big 12, for example.
Sure.
Pass happy league.
Yep.
Those games would go 4 hours and 45 minutes to 5 hours because of these clocks.
Yep.
These teams are putting up 52 pass attempts a game on both sides of the ball. I think like a conference like the Big 12 is going to be the biggest one. But they already had very high overs, over-unders, point totals. It classically, when you would take these teams in the past few years. So it will be interesting to see what some of these lines are like when they start playing each other.
Here's a question for you, Skip. Will we see a Power 5 versus Power 5 have a over-under number above 80 this year? Because in the past, sometimes you'll get Ole Miss versus somebody else.
You get that Texas Tech or somebody.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you get an 82
like a Texas
83,
Tech.
Maybe. I wonder if we see like a 77 last year. I think it was a high.
Oh, we got over 80.
Yeah. I wonder if USC or
I was just going to say USC. It would have to be USC because they can just put up points at will. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're going to want for Caleb's sake. And why not?
Sure.
For Caleb's sake. That's almost like a swear word, right?
For Caleb's sake.
Sounds like a charity, really.
I like that.
Robbie, you think we're ready to talk about some week one best bets?
I think week one best bets are probably in order. I will say this. I have one bet this week that I think is best bet.
Oh, God.
I was just gonna say take Louisville at 7.5.
I thought you were gonna talk about
I don't know what you guys
thought. I thought the Kool-Aid was being
also I think that take Nebraska at 7 right now. I think it's down to 7. Take them at 7 because they're gonna win.
Started at 8
and so they're gonna win. They're right
now. I have a better bet for that game. I have a better bet for that game. The under. I think it's 46, right? Is that 46 or 44?
It's been somewhere 46. In that mid-40s. Yeah.
That's a lock. It's under. They're not getting there. They're going to run the ball. Both defenses, I think, are a lot better than what people think. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring game.
First to 20.
Nebraska
wins
52-7.
First to 20, yeah.
Nebraska's going to win 52-7.
Well, that
could be. I've sent a throw 6 touchdowns. So
thoughts on the Wisconsin game line?
We'll get there, but
we can't see that from here. So that's a comment.
Thoughts on the Wisconsin game. I think what's crazy, 33 points were scored in the game last year is all.
Yep.
And I really wish I could remember what the over-under was going into that game. Mm-hmm. But that was a game where it was Logan Smothers and Purdy playing.
Yeah.
And we only scored 3 points in the last three quarters.
Yep.
Pretty embarrassing. Low production on both sides because Tanner wasn't playing the bowl game for Minnesota. And I think the thing that will be weird is I just don't see PJ Fleck wanting to put this opening game – into the hands of his quarterback in a passing game.
Yep.
To your thought, like he's going to run the ball whenever he's in doubt.
Especially because one of the strengths of Nebraska this year is
not knowing what this defense is going to throw at him, right? He doesn't have
the secondary of Nebraska's
defensive game tape from last year from the same coaching staff to look on tape. It's first game of the year. He has no tape on this defense. He's got an inexperienced, pretty relatively, quarterback, right? Kind of leading the team for the first time. First game. At home, he does not want to just start airing it out and embarrass himself. He wants to at least keep the game close till he can figure out some things to do. He doesn't want to lose it early in the first half.
I mean, so the total is 44? Is it 44 or 45? Do we know? I mean, maybe it's going to be 42-0 Nebraska.
It's right now.
Then it hits the
43.5.
Then it's dropped.
Okay, so
I still
28-28. People are pounding the line right now as we speak.
28-14, still 42 points.
One at a time, guys. Let's talk about the Wisconsin game. Someone mentioned that. We want to give some insight on that. So Wisconsin-Buffalo. I've got on DraftKings 27.5 by the Badgers, over under at 54.5. I think that's a big number. Yeah, Wisconsin to win by 4 touchdowns. I don't know what Buffalo's bringing, but I'll go with Biggest Jerry first.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to, early in the season, always go against the big lines. I think, especially with all the turnover Wisconsin's had with coaches, coaches, players, I mean, there's going to be some adjustment period there. And Buffalo, I'm guessing those – lower power five teams or whatever, they usually are going to have a lot of seniors. They've got a lot of continuity. So I would tend to lay the points there, or is that right? Take the points with Buffalo. And I mean, honestly, there's very few teams early on that I'm going to bet the heavy favorites in those games. Maybe Michigan would be one, where they're playing. Like a directional, Michigan or whatever they're playing. But yeah, there's just too many unknowns with Wisconsin. And maybe they're great. Maybe they're awesome. But you're giving me 27.5 points. I'm going to hope Buffalo can keep it within that.
Well, and it seems like to me, and tell me I'm wrong, but it seems like
you're wrong,
Wisconsin, probably. But Wisconsin seems to be getting a lot of credit for this new spread offense that they're bringing in. And I say new with an emphasis. And so, like, a lot of these point totals that they're getting seem to be based off of that, and especially with –
We're going to find out, right?
Yeah, you're right. That seems to me like, okay, Vegas, like, oh, they're going to be throwing the ball around a lot. And this is, and so it just seems like while still having a power, because
that's going to pull off in the Big Ten, right, Honky?
Yeah.
Especially in those northern states.
It's so easy to combo the Oregon speed and the Husk all the way in a second.
Jeez.
Rocky, where are you?
Oh, goodness. Too soon.
All right, Skip, other week one games that have you piqued your interest?
Oh, God.
Let me throw one out to you early.
I like Texas Tech at Wyoming.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that one.
14-point
favorite. You said Wyoming is hot.
Hot garbage.
Garbage. Yes.
I mean,
Skip to
see
a
hard rival.
Yeah, that's a hard rival.
I do feel bad for him and Coach Broyles. Anytime he gets anyone good there, they transfer out. Bull. A Boyle, sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
Bull. Craig Bull.
Craig Bull.
In the transfer portal era, it's very hard to keep a Wyoming roster together, because if you've been to Laramie, Wyoming, you understand why. But these guys will have a pretty decent year, and they have kids transferring out to Arizona State. I mean, to good schools.
So you're saying
I've been to Laramie before.
Take Texas Tech.
Texas is about a 2-touchdown
game. Yes,
I gotcha. All right. Here, I'll throw one out.
If they don't
on
at least win by
Thursday night, at the same time that the Huskers take on Minnesota, Florida, Utah.
Florida at Utah.
So Florida, who is maybe
zero,
a 6-6 game.
Zero elevation
in Gainesville. Going to Utah.
Salt Lake
City. But we don't know if Utah's Cam Rising, their starting quarterback, is playing or not. Mm-hmm. If he is playing, he's probably not 100%. The line's been dropping. It was probably, 8 or 9, and now it's around a touchdown or less. I'm actually taking
I thought 6.5.
6.5. There you go. I'm taking this as the under 45.5 because I just don't think these teams are going to score with all those factors.
Utah always puts a great defense out there. They got the altitude advantage. Remember who, speaking of the Big Ten, who Florida's quarterback is?
Graham Mertz.
Yes. Did anyone want him as your quarterback on your team?
Wait, what? Who did he play for last year? Wasn't it Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious too. Does anyone on the Florida roster actually know how to locate Utah on a map?
Because Rob, do you know where how to look?
Rob, I don't think they're allowed.
I absolutely do. They're the state directly to the left of Colorado, where I happen to live. Yes, and I drive through there all the time.
Okay.
Yeah,
how
many SEC teams have crossed the Mason-Dixon line or the Mississippi to play a game like recently?
Not often. They play in a mountain or
Pacific hockey.
First time in like 30 years since Florida's left the state to play a non-conference game.
This year.
I want to say
30 years.
Yeah.
My God, that's like.
Let alone the time zone that you left the state.
That is 3/5 of my life. That's crazy.
On principle, I gotta bet Utah this
time. The last time that happened, I was 20.
Yeah, Utah went to the swamp last year. Utah went to the swamp last year and only lost by 3.
Yeah.
So I mean, Utah.
It's hard with unknown.
I'm still in college.
Hesitation. Cam Rising, but that's why, like, if Cam really doesn't play or doesn't play well, because he's still getting, you know, back into playing, and then you got Graham Mertz on the other side. The under seems like a safe bet.
Yeah. I'll throw another one out to you, Skip. I think we talked about this one on the plane, and I already mentioned the season win total here with Louisville. 7.5 versus Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech transition year with a new coach. Same thing with Louisville, but Brohm is going into a really good situation there.
They lost their unbelievable Heisman Trophy quarterback from last year.
Yeah.
I mean,
Georgia Tech. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, they can't recover from losing Jeff Sims, obviously. So I think
Louisville, the cupboard is much more bare for that coaching change at Georgia Tech than what Brohm's taken over, and 7.5 points. We all bet that.
So let's
the friendly casino of Denver International Airport.
So let's close this out here, and I think like what we should do instead of hot takes too. I think we should give maybe some final score predictions for Thursday night's game.
Sure.
Of Nebraska Minnesota. We could go through all the details, everything like that. Maybe break it down a little bit.
Quick preview of that.
Yeah. Sure. So Skip, I know that you were kind of looking over Minnesota's. You know, Minnesota's roster a little bit, kind of checking stuff out. What they have, like 15 starters coming back. I think they have like 53 Lettermen coming 14, back or something.
Yeah,
13, 14, somewhere in that
range. Rob, you know they're the Golden Gophers?
I do know they're the Golden Gophers, as a matter of fact. Yeah, we used to run hoses down the gopher holes when I was a kid. Put them out, and my mom would cut their heads off with rakes. Like back in California.
So let's
break in the show.
That's
a true story. Yeah.
I would not.
Your mom want to be the guest defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
So, all right. So, Minnesota, new starting quarterback. Ethan.
New running back. Not a lot of offensive production.
He's like the
top receiver, top running back.
They have 7 returning starters on offense.
Can we actually take a deeper dive on that, Rob, please?
Yes, we can.
Can we pronounce the quarterback's last name?
Kaliamanis,
the Greek gunslinger, yes, right? So he actually came in the second half last year against Nebraska, did relatively well.
6 for 12.
And
can we just call him Gigi? It makes him sound so much softer.
It's one of those moments where you wish you wouldn't have injured Tanner Moore.
I think the Minnesota coaching staff is pretty high on him, but he doesn't have that much playing time. I mean, a little bit of it was against Nebraska. We'll see how that plays out. They have Chris Autumn Bell, who is in his 7th year as a wide receiver. He's been multiple injuries, but he's back.
Is he going for his doctorate?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then probably their biggest weapon is their tight end, Spanford, right, who has also been back for multiple years. They have had a good line of tight ends here, actually. And he's going to be a problem. We have some defenders in space, I think, that might be able to match up okay with him. And then running back wise, they lose Mo Ibrahim, obviously a big loss.
And Potts, who was their backup. He went to Penn State.
Yeah, right. But they got a transfer in from, was it Western Michigan, Tyler, who was pretty dynamic there. So, I mean, Vic, sure you probably know Minnesota better than anyone else here. I mean, what do you think about this team?
I try not to. I think the fascinating thing about this game for me is the Gophers played Syracuse in their bowl game last year. and our defense coordinator, Tony White, was there.
I think he'd actually already left at that point.
Had he?
I think so. It was an interim.
Gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, but it was thing 3-3-5.
And so his assistant is now on the Minnesota staff. So that was kind of an interesting dynamic that they've got that. So, yeah, I think that's fascinating. I think, obviously, their quarterback, who's new, played against that Syracuse defense last year. So they've got something there. But, I mean, I think it's going to come down to the line play on both sides of the ball. The Gophers' O-line is – last year they had NFL guys on there.
Yep.
Those guys are gone. I think Nebraska's O-line, everybody's saying it's gotten a lot better. I want to believe when I see it. So sure. I'm hoping that that is true, that they've gotten bigger and they've gotten wiser. And the leading tackle for the Gophers, I believe, was their defensive lineman last year. He is back. So he could be a handful for our O-line to deal with. So I really think it's going to come down. Both teams want to run the ball. And I think both teams want to establish that early and often. And it's going to come down to which line is getting the push up front. Is it their D line versus our O line, or is it our D line versus their O line?
Yeah, we've had some nightmare games against this offense. Yeah.
And I think it was that 2020 game when they came down with like 12 players, and they had like, I think they literally had the ball. I think it was like all but one series in the second quarter. It was unreal. Like they just walked the ball down the field just one yard at a time, it felt like.
On the other side of the ball.
Yeah, sorry.
I lost so much money on that game.
On the other side of the ball, how do you think we can attack the Minnesota defense? Because actually, I mean, like, Big Ten West, I mean, it's a really kind of an equal division, right? I mean, the difference outside of, like, Northwestern, and even, I mean, Purdue won last year, and they're, like, pretty much uniform, the sixth, you know, in the sixth spot this year. 1-5, there's not a big difference, right? And, you know, the Illinois defense got a lot of pub last year. They got in a big run. It looked like they were going to win the West, and they kind of faltered. Minnesota's defense was really good last year. I mean, we're talking like a top 20 type defense. Yep.
Top five scoring, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you think the Satterfield offense is going to do to try to kind of crack that code?
I think it's going to come down to our tight end. So, I think Fedoni, who everybody has been waiting to see this kid play, I think he's just a stud. I think he's going to be – could potentially have a really big game. Jeff Sims, I think, is going to need to be at his absolute best. We can't turn the ball over. We know that against Minnesota. You just can't turn a ball over. If you don't turn the ball over against Minnesota and you get a lead, you're going to win almost every game against them. They cannot come back. Yep. If you look at the history under P.J. Fleck, they do not come back. Except against Nebraska. They do not come back. They do not come back when they get down by 10 points against anybody.
Those were against different Nebraska coaches. That's the difference.
That was the first time in PJ's career at the Gophers that he came back from down 10 in any game.
Wow.
Yeah, against Nebraska. That's the first time he's ever done that. So if we can get out and we can get a lead and we don't turn the ball over, I think we win this game. Yeah, I really do. Fair. I think that's what it comes down to. I know that's all cliche, don't turn the ball over. But in a game against PJ's Gophers, it is so imperative that we hold on to the ball and we don't make mistakes and we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We just can't do that.
We only scored – I mean, we could have scored 21 points and won the game last year.
Series, 3-0.
That's
six straight.
Not a big ask for a new coaching staff, a new quarterback who's not even, like, new, right? This isn't, like, his first time – this quarterback's got experience.
I mean,
I'm not asking for a lot. Score 21 and win.
Yeah.
I think with both of the turnovers for both schools on offense,
I think Iowa defense, fans,
they're relatively the same teams coming in, except hopefully a much more competent coaching staff. And some of the people we have replacing some of the people that are gone.
Yeah.
Still have a lot more.
So I would say, like, wouldn't that be like the one unknown, though? Then the Nebraska offense, right? Because nobody really knows what's going to happen. We know what flex teams look like on both sides of the ball. We know what they know what the 3-3-5 defense looks
it's
like.
It's the great wild card.
So the one wild card is what our offense is actually going to be compared to what everyone thinks it's going to be. And nobody really has any tape on what that's going to be.
It's burned us twice on the other end.
And I would say the advantage that Rhule has is that he is bringing, and I know he didn't have the best success in the NFL, but one of the things he did bring from there is just some understanding of like some play calling, some clock management, some things that exist in the NFL that are different from college. So he understands. Okay. And that's seriously, that was my point. Thank you, Skip. But like, so that's my point. So he understands that. So that could be the one wild card.
Do we know if Marcus Washington's playing? Have we heard it
yet? I do not.
He is playing. Okay.
Okay. I've seen the Amber Hoskins.
Okay. I think that's a huge deal to have Marcus.
Can confirm Eric Gilbert. No.
No.
Eric Gilbert is not playing, and that's all we'll say about him. That's all I got to say.
I think the thing, like, so we got burned with a new coach at the season opener versus Illinois 2 years ago. Got burned with a new coach.
It's our turn.
Our first game.
It's our turn.
Against Mel Tucker 3 years ago, right?
Oh, don't bring it.
Because it was our first game.
Talk about losing a lot of money. Out. Yeah.
It wasn't their first game.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean,
sure.
We're on the opposite end now. We're the one with the new coach.
We're due.
Playing a veteran coach who
may not
ready for what we have to bring in that season opener. And that's my cup of Kool-Aid tea to not get over excited.
One of my favorite bets, and this is going to go against everything that Rob believes in, but it's called the emotional hedge bet.
Yeah.
I love this bet. I'd like to just give a shout out to Scott Frost because he made me a lot of money over the course of the last 4 years. I wish I didn't have any of that money, but I do. But yeah, I have to, because if they lose to the Gophers, for me and Jim who live here, the next 365 days until we play, it's just the worst.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, emotional headache.
I do that. Yeah. At least you go home with $100 seat note in your pocket.
Exactly.
All right, Dave. Soften the blow.
So Dave, what do you think?
Well, you know, we're making game predictions. You know, I mean, I've been pretty consistent on saying that I think Nebraska is going to get to a bowl this year. If they win on Thursday night, that's going to make it a lot easier.
So what's your prediction, Dave?
I think this one is a little bit too much to bite off. I feel good about the CU game. I say Minnesota is going to carry the day 24-20.
Skip.
That's right on the over under there, Dave.
Sounds like I looked at some numbers there. Hey, Skip.
Oh boy, I don't want to be the weird guy who says, "Well, I could see this going both ways." Like, but I'd not be shocked in the least if Nebraska wins by 14. I'd be like, "Yeah, we listening to Honky all year. I saw all those storylines.
We are more talented."
But I also wouldn't be shocked if we lost by 13. Going. It's a completely new staff with all these new players. Like, I can justify both ends of like, those scores.
Okay, final predictions.
But, man, I think the difference is our quarterback can run when a play breaks down with some questionable line play over Minnesota's and can keep some drives and stuff going. And we've got some running backs to keep plugging in there if they really want to play that game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say 24-17, Nebraska.
Okay. And I wasn't going to give a prediction, but I'm actually right on the same page. That is my prediction, 24-17, Nebraska. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. Jer.
18-17, Gophers.
Ugly game. 18-17.
Ugly game. 18-17, Gophers.
That's the most biggest.
Three missed extra points.
That's going to be pain.
4-6 field goal.
And the only reason I'm doing that emotional hedge bet, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah,
so I want to be 1-1
too.
So
100%.
In all honesty, I think it is going to be a very close game. I think it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. Matt Rhule has been preaching the fourth quarter, so hopefully that pays off in spades for us. It's going to come down to turnover and quarterback play. That's the whole game. Hey, so you watch that, and you're going to know who's winning.
All right, so that's all of our predictions for the game.
I think so.
That's great. Yeah. And you know, tomorrow night, if you're in Minnesota. Tomorrow night, we will be over at Lions Pub, not the Lions Club, Lions Pub, watching the volleyball game after we have ourselves a nice dinner over at Manny's Steakhouse here in Minneapolis. And so if you guys want to come out and join us for there, also, we're going to have our 8:31 crossover game day preview with the No Block, No Rock podcast from 12 to 3 on game day before we head over to some tailgates on Thursday afternoon prior to the game. And with that being said, let's get started. I'm not going to do a parting shot tonight. Skip, give us a parting shot.
Oh, parting shot. I think Dave makes a great comeback tomorrow. He had a solid back nine today. I really think he pushes Rob. He really pushes Rob to get that money back of the Nassau.
And I get in on the game tomorrow.
Jared's just going to sweep the floor because he's on his home court. nice home cook, and he's like Georgia going for a three-peat. It's going to be a walk in the park. Skip, you know, a lot of volatility there, you know, if he can stay healthy with those approach shots, he's got a
– Yeah, you look good today, Skip. I'm not going to lie. You look good today. Hopefully I can find my swing tomorrow, and you better watch out. Dave.
I don't do parting shots, Rob.
You're about to do one. Give me one, Dave. Well, give it to me.
Let's just thanks Vegas Jer for the hospitality. Great time here. And really looking forward to the next 2 days with the Redcast crew. Going to be awesome. All right. Kobe Grib.
Mac? Just kidding. Mac's in the background over here the whole time. So, they're good. All right. Well, as tradition.
Parting shot?
Jer, I'm letting you give us the parting shot because you are the guest tonight.
My parting shot is Husker Volleyball. It is going to be so awesome tomorrow. I cannot wait to watch that. Those ladies are going to just put on a show. And what a great night for Husker sports. Husker University and Nebraska, everything, the whole state. It's going to be nationally televised, and man, it is just going to be a spectacle. And I think it's going to be something that's going to be talked about nationally, all over ESPN, whatever you want to watch. It's going to be talked about. It's going to be something awesome. So go Huskers tomorrow on volleyball.
Absolutely. All right, guys.
Thursday, great show. Section 207.
207.
207. Look for us.
Section 207. Come find us.
They're going to be easy to find.
Give us shelter from the storm.
We'll send the QR codes, everyone.
Much like tonight, I won't be wearing
any pants. In red with oars over their heads.
All right. We'll be eating breakfast. Difficult conversations.
Loud noises.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right. Everybody calm down here. All right. Great show, guys. Really had a good time. All right. For now, let's call that a Go Big Red cast.
Go Big Red.
GBR.
A Herd at Sports Network production.